From Entrepreneur Media, this is Problem Solvers, a show in which entrepreneurs do what entrepreneurs do best, solve unexpected problems in their business.
We were completely wrong.
And I'm just like, it's not selling.
It was like, we have to start from scratch.
I'm Jason Pfeiffer, the editor-in-chief of Entrepreneur Magazine. Hey, listeners, before we get to this episode of Problem Solvers, here is a word from our sponsor. Small business can mean small budgets, and that makes it difficult to tackle big projects like building and maintaining IT systems. How can you do this on a budget while still delivering agility, security, and a great experience? Cisco has some great answers, and I want to share three of them with you here. So number one, when deciding between on-premises or cloud-based networking, there are many things to consider. Some small businesses prefer to maintain their own equipment, while others are drawn to cloud for its automation and ease of management. So shop around and see what's right for you. Security is top of mind for everyone. That is number two, especially small businesses that might not have the people or bandwidth to monitor the network as closely as they'd like. For that reason, it is key to look for security features that offer automation and are easy to deploy and use. And number three, businesses that don't think they can afford to make an upfront investment in technology might want to ask about leasing and financing options. There are many easy ways to spread your payments out over time. Want to learn more? Visit cisco.com/go/SMB to discover their current promotions and free trials and explore the small business portfolio. Again, that is cisco.com/go/SMB. And now, on with the show. Do you remember where you were when you heard that Yahoo and AOL were going to be merged into a new brand called Oath? I mean, you know, it's not exactly like asking if you remember where you were when you heard that Kennedy was shot, but in the media world in particular, this whole Oath thing was definitely noticed. It happened back in 2017, and people mocked it mercifully. Like, Oath? What is this, Beowulf? Even Jimmy Kimmel got into the action.
In other news from the 1990s, AOL and Yahoo announced that they're merging to form a new company called Oath, which, that's big news. That's like hearing Blockbuster is merging with Radio Shack. It's like when the two saddest, drunkest people at the bar hook up. I feel kind of good for them, but also bad.
Well, all right. Kimmel wasn't just making fun of Oath. He was making fun of Yahoo and AOL. But here's the thing. Yahoo and AOL still drove a ton of traffic. Those brands may be old, but they were still meaningful to millions of consumers and had acquired lots of other more modern brands. And so people in the industry definitely paid attention to them. So now, you may not remember where you were when you heard about this whole Oath thing. But let me introduce you to a guy who definitely does remember.
I'm Guru Gowrappan.
And at the time, Guru was in Hong Kong working for Alibaba, building out its international business. He was just scrolling around on Facebook one day when he saw it.
I was feeding through, and I have a lot of friends who are at that time at Yahoo. And someone had this, I think there was a big party that was happening, which had Oath on it and said new name. And I literally, my eyes went up. What does that mean?
Total double take, just like everyone else. Oath? Your company's name is Oath? Guru was in disbelief. And to be clear here, because I know this is confusing, Verizon Communications, the telecom company, had bought AOL in 2015. And then in 2017, Verizon bought Yahoo. And then it created a new division, which it basically treated like a new company, called Oath. And Oath would contain AOL, Yahoo, and a bunch of other brands that those two companies had owned, like the Huffington Post, TechCrunch, Engadget, and more. So, Guru is looking at this and he's thinking, Oath? Could this be right? I mean, you are Verizon and now you own two legacy internet media companies and you spin them out into an entirely new, unfamiliar name?
I pinged some of them saying, hey, is this the new company? Why do you not have a Verizon thing around it? And it's going to take time to explain to people what that is.
And he was right. Oath just never worked. It created confusion, it lost money, and a year and a half later, as fate would have it, Oath would be looking for a new leader to right the ship. And who would become that new leader? Well, it was Guru. Guru became the CEO of Oath, and one of his very first decisions was to get rid of the name Oath. In December of 2018, he officially renamed the company Verizon Media, which is a lot more boring than Oath, but also a lot harder to mock. And I remember seeing this new name and thinking, what is going on over there? Why keep changing the name? I mean, why not just leave it alone? And this is why I wanted to talk to Guru. I suspected that this change must have been more meaningful than it appeared. I mean, this couldn't have just been because the name was kind of ridiculous, right? Yes, I was right. As Guru explained, changing the name from Oath to Yahoo Media helped everyone in the organization think differently. It helped morale. It helped sales. It helped cohesiveness. It had ripple effects that even Guru himself hadn't anticipated. So on this episode of Problem Solvers, I want to walk you through this simple but enormous decision. It's kind of like that Shakespeare line, what's in a name? As it turns out, quite a lot. Words matter. So much so, in fact, that this is going to be the first part in a two-part Problem Solvers series on name changes. In this first episode, we learn the story of Oath and how changing the name created an enormous impact inside the company. And next week, we'll look at a different company and a different name change. And this time, it was to impact what customers think outside the company. So, part one of our name change extravaganza is coming up right after the break. You know that business is hard, that anything can be hard, and that solutions come by learning from the smartest, wisest people. It's why you listen to this podcast, and that is also what you get when you sign up for Masterclass. Masterclass offers exclusive access to online courses taught by masters of their craft. Learn business leadership from Howard Schultz, economics from Paul Krugman, writing from Malcolm Gladwell, and dozens more. I really love the advice in the Gladwell session. He offers very, very valuable wisdom. Like, one of my favorites is that he says, you should be able to write at an eighth grade level, but with ideas that are super sophisticated. Man, I wish someone had told me that at the beginning of my writing career. I spent so much time trying to impress people with my wordsmithing rather than with my ideas. You know, writing is about communication, not about showing off. This is the kind of clarity you find with Masterclass. And now you can have unlimited access to every Masterclass. And as a Problem Solvers listener, you get $30 off. Just go to masterclass.com/problem solvers for $30 off your first year of the All Access Pass. That's masterclass.com/problem solvers for unlimited access to Masterclass at $30 off. masterclass.com/problem solvers. And now, our next sponsor. Entrepreneurs know better than anyone. If you want to make something happen, you have to build awareness. Awareness of your brand or your product or just the importance of the world you operate in. And that, I suspect, is why National Life Insurance Awareness Month was created. That's what September is. And it's aimed at the 40% of Americans who don't have life insurance, perhaps because they think it's too difficult or expensive to get. But you know what? It's not. Policy Genius is the easy way to shop for life insurance online. In minutes, you can compare quotes from top insurers to find your best price. Once you apply, the Policy Genius team will handle all the paperwork and red tape, and they'll help with home, auto, and disability insurance as well. So, if you need life insurance, National Life Insurance Awareness Month is a pretty strong time to get started. Just go to policygenius.com, get quotes, and apply in minutes. You can do the whole thing on your phone right now. Policy Genius, the easy way to compare and buy life insurance. All right, we're back. So, quick story on how Guru got to Oath, or Verizon Media, or whatever, we'll get to it. Back in the earlier part of his career, Guru actually worked in some senior roles at Yahoo. Then he went on to work at some other internet companies, and then eventually landed at Alibaba as the global managing director. And a few years ago, Tim Armstrong was doing a tour through Asia. And Tim, in case you don't recognize the name, he was the CEO of AOL at the time, and then he became the CEO of Oath after the mergers and acquisitions. So Tim was in Asia and wanted to meet with Guru to talk about business culture at Alibaba and in China. It was just something Tim was interested in learning more about, given how exceptionally high-performing Alibaba has been. And Guru seemed like the guy to help explain it. So Tim and Guru got together for a 3-hour dinner in Taiwan, and Guru told Tim about Alibaba's culture of execution.
The culture, when you think about Alibaba, or what I've learned in the journey, there is this intense focus on execution. We tend to, and nothing else blocks you. Like, you are all out. When you know somebody has defined the vision and you locked in a strategy, you're just going all out. There's no rocket science on it. And that culture is unique in Asia, and most of the times that there is very deep, and there is much in startups here too, right? Alibaba had this thing at a scale of a company, I don't know how many employees now, but at that stage, 50,000 employees, running as a very deep startup-y, entrepreneurial, making fast decisions and really executing, right? There's not these committees and let's take a decision that takes 6 to 9 months. You're going all out. And if you fail, you get up and you walk.
Tim was impressed. And when Oath started looking for a new president and COO a little while later, Tim suggested that they call Guru. So the company did. Oath called Guru in early 2018 and asked if he was interested in the gig. And Guru had to pause to think about it. I mean, he was ready for the next thing. He felt like he'd done what he came to do at Alibaba. But news was not good at Oath. I mean, there were rumors that the parent company Verizon wasn't really committed to Oath, and people were leaving, and the company was underperforming. And he thought, was this really where he wanted to go? But then he thought more about it and realized, well, maybe.
I've always been mission-driven. So I want to have impact on billions of people positively, whatever platform I can be. And Alibaba gave me a taste of that.
You want to have an impact? Look at places that need your impact. It's a useful perspective. An opportunity may come along that doesn't look perfect on first glance, but it might just be the challenge you've been waiting for. So in April of 2018, Guru came on board as president and COO. And a few months later, in October of 2018, Tim Armstrong left the company and Guru replaced him as CEO. And one of the first things Guru did was sit down with Verizon CEO Hans Vestberg and say, hey, listen, this whole Oath thing is kind of a problem.
I saw in meetings, in big Verizon meetings where we were trying to integrate our products within the consumer business and all of that, we would always talk about two different companies. Oh, Oath, you guys need to do this. Verizon will do this. And I'll sit back and said, it's one company.
And that's a problem. So Guru laid it out to Hans. He said, listen, people are treating Oath and Verizon like they're different things. And that is confusing internally and externally. It's also making people at Oath think that Verizon isn't committed to them because Verizon gave its media brand this weird name as if Verizon is trying to distance itself from the whole operation. So now someone who works for Oath is thinking, am I really a part of Verizon? Does Verizon think of me as a Verizon employee? Do they care? Are they going to invest? So first, Guru asked Hans this. Is Verizon committed to its media division? Yes, Hans said. It absolutely is. Okay, Guru said. Then let's make that super clear. Over the course of about a week, they talked and thought about it and eventually decided to make it simple. Verizon had planned to reorganize around three groups, consumer, business, and media. So it was time to just call Verizon's media group something simple. They chose Verizon Media. Simple, straightforward, clear as day. They announced the change in December of 2018, and it prompted a whole bunch of news. I remember reading a bunch of stories about it, and from the outside, the name change just made the company look kind of chaotic. Like, oh man, they're just scrambling over there. They can't even keep the name straight. But internally, Guru says, the name change created a very different response. It was calming. Verizon Media employees now felt less confused. They felt supported by the larger organization. Like, they were no longer being held at arm's length and concerned that the parent company wasn't willing to invest in them or their brands. And soon, an interesting realignment began. Everyone started acting like part of the same company.
You have the last name, you're part of the family. It was a very small thing, but I do think it simplified a lot. And then that led us to focus on bigger problems.
So here's the meat of our story. What problems are we talking about here? The stuff you can't even imagine would be tied to a corporate umbrella name change. Here's one I wouldn't have thought of. It pushed the company to make its own internal systems more cohesive. So to understand that, start with this. Verizon Media is a collection of tons and tons of companies. I mean, when you acquire AOL and Yahoo, you're also acquiring all of these brands and companies that they'd acquired. That's a lot of different internal systems. And in the days of Oath, everything remained fragmented and confusing.
At one point, this company had about 13 different platforms, all the acquisitions that had gone through. So we had 18 months plus of integration. So finally, I can say I've got one demand side platform and close enough to one supply side platform. That was huge. And the name change actually in an interesting way.
How does that connect? Right.
Now it's called Verizon Ad Platform, Verizon Media Ad Platforms, right? So that was easy now because now we don't have multiple platforms for native and supply, and you were doing video advertising. Everything flows through.
Do you think like actually making that name change and kind of announcing to yourself and to the world this cohesiveness allowed the company at that point, you're at a kind of granular level here to actually think through a more cohesive strategy throughout the company.
Completely. Yeah. Go to market. If you think about it from a B2B on the other side of the coin, I talk about consumer on the customer side and B2B side. We again had multiple products, multiple sales teams. And I'm like, you're all going to the same customers in a way. but I've got different teams talking to them with different product names. So you're at some point saying, oh, we also have Verizon Digital Media Services, used to, which is now Verizon Media Platform, which literally is your streaming delivery and security product for OTT. So a lot of the video streaming. So Hulu uses us, Disney. It's a big platform. So we bought, one of the things I also did with that name thing, I also bought organizations together, saying ad platforms, anything B2B is one organization. So you have one go-to-market, simplified, right? That helped because now I can cross-sell, upsell, actually more efficiency within the teams. I'm not duplicating efforts. Mm. So really, really made our go-to-market easy. And it's one messaging, right? I'm not having multiple, and even marketing teams and product teams, we had multiple teams trying to attack each product separately. So now it's like, it's one brand and you've got different features and product suites underneath it, but that's it. So it really made it from scaling wise, what I've seen on the ad teams now, it's simple what we do in the US. Now, the other advantage we have, having the Verizon, and Verizon is a very, very big brand in the US. It's the number one carrier. When you think about mobile, Verizon is the top and the best network, which also within Verizon, we have massive B2B and enterprise products. So with that, what helps is from a go-to-market, at least in the US, we are literally in front of customers who understand Verizon really well. In fact, it has a much better brand presence than when you think about the Yahoo ad platforms, AOL ad platform. This had much better, call it equivalent of NPS or brand loyalty index in terms of the, so that helped too. So now when we go in, we talk to big brands where we are, talk about Pepsi to any of the big customers out there, we can go together as one team. And if there is something we're doing on the Verizon core, kind of the business group or the consumer group side, we can always bring in media into it because typically all of them are also advertisers on big platforms. So we can see a lot of synergy. Earlier, a lot of that wouldn't happen.
And it wouldn't happen because everyone just felt separate?
Yeah.
Isn't that interesting? Different teams inside the same company weren't thinking of working together because they had different names, which meant they felt independent of each other. But give them the same name and suddenly it feels a lot more natural to start operating in unison. And this also mattered when Verizon went out to clients. Guru described these pitch meetings where someone from Verizon would present a client with this or that thing, and then someone from Oath would come up and present something else right there in the same meeting. But it was so confusing because it seemed like Verizon and Oath were different things. And so the Oath person would always have to explain, hey, we're part of Verizon, we have this different name and
I think just that one extra line of explanation in a way adds friction. And my view is, as consumers, if I take you and I as consumers, today's world, we love simplicity. Explain to me like a fifth grader, right? Can you do that? Because then we're not focused on the shallow stuff. You're focused on the deep product stuff. And that's what this enabled in a very weird way.
You know, it's interesting. When I sat down with Guru to start our interview, I told him that I was a little surprised about the name change to Verizon Media. Because to me, and I think to many consumers, I don't associate the name Verizon with media. I think of Verizon as a telecom provider. And so it seemed like maybe there'd be this confusion by linking Verizon to media. And in response, Guru had said this.
The first customer in this is employees.
And it wasn't until later in our conversation that I fully understood what he meant there. He was thinking about who would be consuming the Verizon Media name. Who was the customer for this name? And the answer isn't that it's the customer as we normally think of the customer. It isn't the consumer, the person sitting at their desk in an office somewhere reading a story on Yahoo Finance. The customer for the name Verizon Media is, first and foremost, the people who work at Verizon Media. And secondly, the customer is clients of Verizon. These are all people that consume the name Verizon Media. Like any good entrepreneur, Guru was looking at the product market fit, and he was thinking of the name of his company as a product. It was for a particular customer, which made me wonder something.
Did you care if the consumer has ever heard the words Verizon Media before?
No. I think for them, they're engaging with the products. The only thing it gives you when you're doing an announcement or anything, it's part of Verizon Media product group, but you know, rest of that is each of the product, Yahoo, TechCrunch, or HuffPost, or AOL, they do their own go-to-market and launches whenever they launch.
Nah, just doesn't matter. The end consumer isn't the consumer for the name Verizon Media. They'll consume a name like Huffington Post, the brand they've come to trust. But that doesn't mean the name Verizon Media is useless. It has a different customer, and that customer matters too. But here's a final funny thing about name changes and the customer it's reaching. When an employee of Verizon Media arrives at work every day inside this big and nicely designed building on Broadway in New York City, they pass a sign that says oath. In fact, when I went to meet with Guru, I checked in with a receptionist whose desk had the word oath big and on the front. And of course, I pointed that out to Guru.
So it takes a long time to change the name, doesn't it?
It does take a long time. And part of it is, honestly speaking, it's interesting. And this is another great experiment output, which is even the IDs still say it. Okay. And we are going through the changes. Part of it was we also did budget prioritization. I said, you know, a lot of times this is an interesting cultural experiment. Many times people will come and say, oh, what are the values? Can you put all the values up there on the board at the entrance or all of that? I'm a big believer of you always lead by example, live the values, ask somebody a year out, tell me what the values are. They'll just tell you how we behave. And that many times becomes your value. So today you walk around any employee, ask them what group they are in, they will say Verizon Media. So that's an amazing, amazing, I don't know, it's a great test when you think about it. The badges haven't changed, none of that has changed. So for me, it's like, you know what, that's great. Now, it does impact externally when customers, everybody comes in, oh, it still says, oh, so we're going through that change. Yeah. But we did prioritize at a very first principle or first priority level is let's make sure the employees understand it. Let's make sure our behavior is that way. This is easy thing that I can peel and change. And we're going through that right now, but it does take time.
Yeah.
So you do the easiest and the hardest thing first, which is changing the mindset and changing how you approach a problem, how you tell who you are. So that's why you go and ask anyone. No one here is going to say it's Oath. Everybody's going to say it's Verizon Media. And right. That for me is if you ask me, that's the result I was looking for.
At the beginning of this, I said that language matters. It really does. But what matters most is that people believe the language. They need to see the result of that language. That's what Guru means about doing the hard thing first. The hard thing is changing culture. The easy thing is changing a sign in the lobby. They're connected, to be sure, but you better understand the impact each will make. And that's our episode. If you like what you heard, please subscribe to Problem Solvers wherever you get your podcasts. We come out with a new episode every Monday morning, and you don't want to miss it. And hey, be kind. Pass the show along to an entrepreneur friend who could use a boost. And did you solve a problem that would be good for this show? Let me know about it. Visit my website, jasonfeifer.com, JasonFeifer.com, where you can find my contact information and all sorts of other valuable info. Problem Solvers is a production of Entrepreneur Media. Be sure to visit entrepreneur.com for all your entrepreneurship needs. And even better, subscribe to our magazine, which is just full of the smartest entrepreneurs solving the toughest problems. My name is Jason Feifer, the editor-in-chief of Entrepreneur Magazine. Thanks for listening. And hey, let's go solve some problems.